Luke 4, verse 18. And this is, we found the place in the book where it was written. He stood up to read, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. The word because there is not a good translation. It says, but it's the word henneka, and it means for this cause. So it should say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for this cause. He hath anointed me to preach, etc., etc. And we're going to spend again some time on the poor. Anointed is Creo, which just is a part of Jesus' name. He is the only one that's anointed. Again, in here, the word poor is, it's a word I can't pronounce. It's P-T-O-C-H-O-S is the transliteration. It's from the Greek word ptasso, which means those who cower or hide. And I've said so often that it doesn't just mean the poor, but it means those who are unable to complete a thing. But it does mean the poor if they're unable to complete a thing. And I think I told you about my experience in this. Before I was before my conversion experience, I had been appointed to the board of directors of the War on Poverty. And that's when I moved into the projects that were then right on the other side of Central Expressway near on Washington Avenue. And I had never known any poor people. I'd never been around them. And so a lot of the poor met this really idea that they can't complete a thing. But a whole bunch of the poor were not, they were rich in their, because they had everything down. They knew what should happen next. Even though it failed every time, they had it down. They had a plan. So they weren't poor. Even though they were poor in money, they weren't poor by this definition. And again, that thing that happened at my conversion experience, when those homeless guys, which were obviously poor, and standing around and saying, well, I'll tell you one goddamn thing, if I were president, this is what you should do. So they were poor, but not poor. And so I just want to clear that up, because I've spent so much time emphasizing that it's not just about money, it's about inability to complete a thing. And the third thing that happened to me was I thought that the elderly would be the first to be able to hear, because they must have seen the emptiness and vanity of all things. And so I started talking to the residents at my mother's nursing home. They thought I was nuts. And they had no interest in it, because, again, I'll tell you one goddamn thing, this is how you do it, even though they had failed at everything. So when it says he came to preach the gospel to the poor, it's a big deal, but it isn't any way we can think about. You can't define a class and say they are poor. Everybody understand what I mean? What?
I'm thinking of the definition of poor that you have, that we wrote a couple of times as it related to affordable housing, and you said that being poor was the, I don't know how you said it, inability to operate within the system or something like that.
Well, it was, yeah, and from just looking at it from my experience, poor wasn't not having money. Poor was the total inability to know how to access the system and the things that were available to them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, I'm sure that's true.
But
is it also when you run out of options?
Yeah. As long as you have run out of options, instead of when you run out of options, your mind goes to if-onlys. If only that son of a bitch hadn't You got to not only run out of options, you got to run out of if onlys. Anyhow, the predicate then, the Jesus' first announcement of what his mission was to preach the gospel to the poor. And everything else is an expansion on the tail. Okay? Now let's look at the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. So again, in the Beatitudes in Matthew, we have the first thing that Jesus said essentially is the Sermon on the Mount. And that's just an order of how they presented it, and this is in Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, poor here is the word I can't pronounce. Patakos. How do you pronounce it? Patakos. Yeah, but it's PT. So how do you say PT? Patakos. Patakos. Greeks can say it real easily. So, and the whole idea. Again, I think it's important. This is the first words out of his mouth in Matthew and in Luke. Blessed are the poor. Or I came to preach the gospel to the poor. And the reason is the poor are the only ones that can hear.
Yeah, that condition gives you ears to hear.
Yeah, it causes your ear to be circumcised. Not always, but it's certainly the necessary condition. All right, and let's go back to Luke. Because the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, sent, he has sent is just the word apostello, which is the word for an apostle. So it's not just the title, it's what an apostle does. He has been sent to heal. And this is this word I-A-O-M-I. Ionomai. I-O-M-I. 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 Something like that. And it doesn't just mean to heal a boo-boo. It means to be made whole, complete, lacking in nothing. What?
I just think about healing.
No. He healed the sick. But by the healing of the sick, did he make them whole, complete, lacking in nothing? No. He healed the sick because that was one of the signs of the apostle. I mean, signs of the Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament. But he didn't heal all the sick. Why? Because he healed the sick fundamentally from God's standpoint in order to know that he had the power to do it. And then he was tested along those lines over and over of whether or not he would use that power to benefit man or would use that power to build the kingdom of God. Now, your mind will tell you, well, he's going to use that power to attract people to come into the kingdom of God, but he never did that. In fact, what he happened, for most of the people he healed, he told them to tell nobody. That's kind of wild. What?
I was just thinking, I'm trying to think of if he ever failed. Like, there's no indication of he tried to heal somebody, he couldn't.
No, but there's things that the disciples couldn't.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the most important words in the Bible is
Right, because he emptied himself of everything. That's what humility is. Okay, to heal the brokenhearted, it's broken is sin, it's a word that just means anything. You put a glass down and it falls and breaks. And it's sin treble. But the word heart is cardia, but it doesn't mean like your heart. It means the center of your being. And again, this goes along with the idea that when the center of your being is broken, it's the thing which caused you to be poor, and that is the tendency, if that's where the original word for poor, the word poor came from, that word patasso, which means to cower or to hide. So anyway, I want to leave. There's something that keeps coming on me. I want to go to Isaiah 42. I keep reaching for my coffee. I can't have any. I can't have any water.
You go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Maybe because chili.
Yeah, and I can't have any chili. Are we there? Is everybody at Isaiah 42? Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now let's look at verse 3. He shall not cry, or cry just means talk loudly. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. This is something I wish every evangelist would read. He shall not cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not put out, or shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. And if he is in you, then you shall not fail nor be discouraged. And thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk in therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and it means guard diligently, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Let's go up to verse 16. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed, the trust in graven images, and say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant. Who is blind but my servant? What does that mean?
I hear that as an expectation from God to be who you are, and he'll worry about the outcome of your life. What makes you his servant?
Well, again, nothing can happen without repentance, because he will never violate your will. But again, what does it mean? Who is blind but my servant? He doesn't pay any attention to what he sees. He sees through everything. And so is it, and if you are, this is a message, not this, the other things earlier were the revelation of Christ and the fulfillment of what he did. But what we're reading now, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. It's then we have to become blind to what we no longer look at, we see through. If you're a husband, you no longer make judgments regarding your wife by some idiot thing that takes place. You see through and always call forth the beauty that attracted you in the first place. If you're a believer, you see through and you see Christ, the possibility of the fulfillment of Christ in every person that you meet. There is never a utilitarian idea, because you're blind as to what you see, because you're seeing through to see the mystery. And this is what we're going to, the reason we're talking about this now is in a minute in Luke, it talks about giving sight to the blind, and Luke or one of them. And I want to. It's not about healing all the blind people. It's about you as a individual confessing that you are really in reality blind, because you don't see the things that God sees. Because you keep looking at instead of seeing through. Okay? Now again, this thing up in verse 3 that, well, verse 2, he shall not cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. That's huge. He's not going to fix anything. Or if it's the bruised reed, it's you know, the idea is that the branch is already broken, so you break it off the rest of the way. That's... He's not interested in the things that we're interested in. He's interested only in the things that God is interested in. And the only way we can see that is by confessing to God that we are blind from his standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, these two work so well together. Poor gives you ears to hear, and the blind gives you eyes to see.
Right. You never see at, you see through. There's a bunch of scriptures that said that the one that sits in the way and watch, they make you an offender for a word. Well, that's, you know, if you're looking for judgment, everybody's going to make a mistake in a word, so they make you an offender for a word. But again, this mystery of God has nothing to do with the what's going on in the world. And until that is seen, you'll always be deceived by causes. You'll take a word out of the Bible and say, aha, and then you will go out to try to fix that. Am I coming anywhere? Touching anything yet? Do you see?
Yeah, I see the totality of or death or repentance or whatever, it's not repenting from just one part of your behavior. You repent of yourself.
Right.
Totally.
And it's therefore every opinion, every idea, every good thing that you think and every bad thing you think, they're all gone. Anyhow, that's enough for today. We'll continue on in Luke 4. If I make it through surgery. That sounded, I'm just having a minor procedure, but it's freaking me out because I had it before and it almost killed me. And I can't eat or drink anything until after that.
What time is the surgery?
Well, I have to be at the doctor's at 12:15, so you're going to have to eat early. I wished I could eat early. Oh, take it, big guy.